Okay. Sermon time, folks. You've got 10 minutes to listen very intently. Over the last, I would say over the last month and a half, I have been doing more reading and studying than I have previously, and I don't want to hear any amens out there. Somebody says it's about time. And some of the books that I've been reading have made such an impression. And actually, I'm going to let you know what, with God's help, we are going to plan to do over the next couple months. There is a story in the Old Testament that I absolutely love. When I was very, very young, and I'm one of the unique individuals who's actually grew up in this Franconia, Springfield area. I was born in Alexandra Hospital. I don't remember it, but they tell me I was born there. And lived, grew up in the area, went to Franconia Elementary School, Mark Twain, Edison High School. Before I attended Franconia Elementary, I actually went to a church down on Franconia Road, down on the left-hand side. It's back in at that day it was called Ward's Corner. Anybody know where Ward's Corner? Yeah. These are my people, Terry. I'm relating to my people. You got that? These are my people. You never heard of it down in New Orleans, so don't worry. Small church in the back there, and I was taken in, and I actually got to sing with the folks in the choir one song, because I only knew one song. That song was "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." This little light of mine, I'm going. You're the choir, and I'm the leader. That means, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now hold up one hand, ready? Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan out, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, we're all on the same page. Then I was given a small book. It had pictures in it, because that's all I could do was look at the pictures. And through this little picture book, it told the story of a young man who was known as a sheep herder, who was called upon. God spoke and allowed this young man to go and tumble the largest giant that was ever mentioned in the Bible. Who was this young man's name? David. And who did he victorious over? Goliath. And I love the story. I would open up, I'd look at the pictures, and I would look and look and explain. And I was so amazed by the story of young David and Goliath. Just at age 16, I walked into Calvary Road Baptist Church next door, heard the message, heard the invitation, and made it rang within my heart, and I walked down the aisle and gave my heart to Jesus. And as the years went on, I began to read and to study more and go over certain stories within the Bible. And God allowed certain truths that we find within His Word to resonate within our hearts. You know how it is. You'll study and you'll read things and possibly things that you read time and time and time again before. But all of a sudden, God finds in His wisdom to turn a light bulb on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've heard it. And this is a story you've all heard. It's a very simple story. But just in the last short period, God has revealed certain things. And so then I would go back and I'd read the story again. And I would find things, read the story again. I'd read different authors and books written about this story of David and Goliath. Very simple story. In the book of 1 Samuel, I'm going to challenge you this week sometime when you're doing your devotions. Or I want you to simply read the story. I'm not going to read it all for you here today. Very simply, there was a great challenge to God's people. King Saul, with his army, was on one side of the valley. And across on the other side of the valley, remember who those people were? The Philistines. Sounds like the name you give a character in a movie if you wanted a bad guy name, right? The Philistines. And out of those Philistines, they decided to send forth one man. His name was Goliath. It reads in the Old Testament that this man stood about 9 foot 9 inches tall. The armor that he wore weighed over 125 pounds. And he would come out every morning and every evening, and he would challenge the army of Israel. He would challenge, is there no one who is brave enough to come out and fight me? And all the men focused upon this great giant in the valley. All were afraid. All were afraid. Then one day, David was out in the fields tending to the sheep, and he came in, and his father sent him on a little task. He said, go. Take supplies, cheese, bread, wine. Take it to your brothers who are in the army and come back to me with a report. So David came after he took the supplies that he brought and he gave them to the head supply master. And he looked down in the valley and he heard this giant stomping around, stomping around. And he heard the challenge that this Philistine gave to God's people. And he said, wow, wow. In his mind and within his heart, he knew that something had to be done. He made the statement, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would march around and mock the armies of the living God? Then he asked a question. He said, what will it be? What will it bring the man who defeats this one? He was told that the man who defeated the giant would receive in hand the hand of the daughter of Saul, the king. And also, his family would not have to pay any taxes. Amen? Amen. Pretty good incentive. And then he says, you know, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came out and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant, David, talking about himself, has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, and I want you to listen to this, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Everyone else within that army was focused on the giant. David was focused on God. There are two statements that he makes about this Philistine. But then there are nine statements. I hope I have nine fingers up. There are nine statements that are made about the living God and what God will do. I want to challenge you. When you have a problem, when you have a giant within your life, when you have something that is troubling you, something that is challenging you, something that calls out to you every morning and every night, when you wake up in the morning, you think about this problem. Before you go to bed at night, you think about this problem. When you within your heart have to deal with this giant within your life, do you focus on the giant or do you focus on God? What we're going to do is we're going to learn about focusing on God. We're going to learn about the story of David because I can relate to David. Those of you that are straight-A livers that never make a mistake, that do everything right, it's not going to appeal to you that much because we're going to find out things about his life that, woof, wow. But I will tell you one thing. Paul, the great apostle, was called an apostle by God. John was called the beloved of God. But there's only one individual ever written about in God's holy word where David was referred to as a man after the heart of God. David's heart. A man who would make so many mistakes in life. He was so willing to be there when God called upon him. He was so willing to keep his focus upon God. But then when that focus changed, you will see a man who did unspeakable things. But my goodness, when the focus was on God, when you look upon the giant, you stumble. But the writer says, when you look upon God, the giant stumbles. Very quickly, the rest of the story, he went out and he found those five smooth pebbles, placed them within his pouch, took his sling, which he had used as protector. Went down to the valley and ran towards Goliath. Think about that. How many people run towards their giant in their life? What do? We hide. We try to find something else. We go in a little hole somewhere. Oh, I got to change. I got to go. I got to find. I got to change. I can't handle it. I can't face what challenges I have. But what did David do? He ran towards the giant. The stones. I don't know why he picked up five. It says he only used one. They were smooth. When I was just a youngster, I would go up, I would visit with my grandparents on my father's side. My grandfather was a very interesting character. They called him the Colonel. They lived in a house in a place called Piney River, Virginia. Too bad Dave's not here today. He'd be smiling back there, Barbara. I know where that's at. And the house he lived in had a front porch to it. That was his domain. That's where he lived. Why? Because when gangrene set off, they cut one leg below the knee and the other leg was cut off halfway up his thigh. As he sat in that wheelchair and he pushed around, and now he's just a little teeny thing, 4 or 5 years old. When we would go up to visit, I did not look so forward to it, because he would point to me. And he was not what you call the warm, approachable grandfather. If you're a 4 or 5 year old and you're on the porch there and he's got this old wooden wheelchair and those stub of legs and he points to you and whew, I'm looking forward to when the station wagon is leaving. But he would point and he would make me come over and he would say, "Here." And he had a little cloth bag that was white. That's where he kept his rolling tobacco. If I have mentioned anything you're not familiar with, ask some of these older gentlemen here. I would have them raise their hands, but they're probably sleeping. He would take the little small sack that he had his tobacco that he rolled his cigarettes with, and he would hand it to me, and he would send me out into the driveway. And he'd say, "Go and pick out just the right size little rocks, the rounded ones." And he'd had a wonderful thing that he did. He whittled. You don't see too many folks out there that have an art of whittling. And he would whittle different things and little toys that he would whittle and give to us. One was called a little doodle dancer. I would love to have one. But also he'd whittled a slingshot, taking strips of a tube, I imagine, from a bicycle tire, and then tied it with a small leather pouch on the end. And he was deadly with this off the porch. I can tell you about this firsthand. I was raised in a family where they believed that you should get 2 pats on your back. One high enough when you did good, one low enough to let you know when you did wrong. But I would go and I'd search and I'd find these and I'd hand to him and he'd take those out and he'd pull them out. And I would set up an old can or glass and he would show me how to do it. I was amazed. I was amazed. Then I read in God's Word, my little picture book, about a young shepherd took those rocks, running towards Goliath. I can imagine Goliath standing there. "What have you done? Am I a dog that you would send out this little young twiggy to challenge me?" And as he threw his big head back to laugh, I can imagine that helmet just creeped up just, an inch or so. What did David do? He threw. That rock came off. And it into the center of his forehead. Into the forehead it went. Down he went. Went over and took his own sword. Cut his head off. That's a beautiful story that I'm going to share with you. And we're going to learn about some of the things in the story. We're going to learn about the focus on God. We're going to learn about David. We're going to learn about what he goes and where he travels from this point on. We're going to try to the best of our abilities to allow ourselves to be more focused on God. Now, if I don't see you back in church for the next 2 months, I'll know this is not your cup of tea. Don't worry. Don't worry. I believe that God has something for us. I'm more excited every day. I'm more thrilled about what I am hearing in people. I'm more thrilled about what I hear people talk about the troubles and about the trials and about the problems. I'm even more excited when I hear people start to talk about The reason that I am here today is to show people what prayer can do. That's the thing that thrills my heart. That's the focus on God that I am talking about. And I challenge you, read 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. Just keep on reading. Read about David. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about some of the things in life. Some are good, some are not so good. I'm going to challenge you a little bit. We're all going to study together. And hopefully God will reach out and touch our hearts. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come in your house today. We have opened your word. We have shared one with the other. God, we have partaken of communion, the Lord's Supper. You have brought warmth to our hearts. But God, there are people that simply have needs. And God, you need to challenge each and every one of us to be a part of the solution by allowing your love to flow through us to others. You need to allow us to keep our mind, our focus upon the light, God, of your Holy Spirit that will lead us, guide us, direct us. Heavenly Father, be with those prayer requests again that we mentioned earlier. We thank you for each one being a part of the service today, God. We thank you for so many people with smiles upon their faces. We thank you for the love of God which we feel within your house. And Heavenly Father, when we leave this place, give us safe traveling mercies and allow us to take the wonderful love of God that you give to each and every one of us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Since we have a guest, we have a... Did I forget something? I hope not. Since we have a guest, we're going to finish on a song. Brother Kevin, there's a request for this song, and the request was by me.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. Now everybody that lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down. Big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw. It was the light from that old lighthouse that stands upon the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him because Jesus is a light. And from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? And I thank God for I hold my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, if it wasn't for the lighthouse, if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be?